pleased to bring you our feature presentation.
Live from the worst Labor Day party ever, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. Hey everyone, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor dog, and man, what a lame Labor Day extravaganza. Who celebrates Labor Day in the good old USA in a basement? Apparently, we do. On today's show, we'll celebrate with a top five list. Celebrate what, Joe? We're in a basement. The top five money moves to make right now. Also, a big announcement from OG. That's huge. A big announcement from OG. Your letters, some amazing Labor Day headlines, and more. And here they are, two guys who are the biggest Labor Day weenies, Joe and OJ.
I think we're at least second. I think I know one that's bigger.
I don't even get that. I'm not picking up that and running with it.
Not going there?
Nope.
Hey, everybody. I'm Joe Salci, High Average Joe Money on Twitter. And happy Labor Day to those of you in the United States.
How are we not taking a day off?
I don't know.
Why do we got to work?
Because we love being here in the basement.
This is a labor of love.
Well, here's the deal. As you know, Mom said we had to clean the basement. So instead, we decided we'd record this. Because
smart.
Who wants to clean up for the party that's this afternoon? I mean, it's her bridge friends. Who wants that?
They're not coming down here anyway.
You know what they would like, though, if we tell them about stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money? You know they would like that.
Well, it saves them like $400.
They are into that, too, aren't they? Because let's say that they walk into their bank and the bank just says, hey, we got just these three or four products and you can choose between those versus Magnify Money, where you can choose between 92% of the products out there, whether it's checking, savings, your debt strategy, all your debt products.
You don't want those other 8% anyway. Those are the crappy ones.
Loser ones.
Those are the loser ones.
The best 92 are on stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. And it's funny, on Friday's show, OG, I was diving in and looking at which ones are best, like we do fairly often. We just went there live. And SoFi, number one, of course, on Magnify Money's list. The cool thing about SoFi is very transparent paperwork, according to Nick and Brian and the team. So it's very easy to understand what the terms of the loan are. There's no origination fee, whether it's your student loan, whether it's your personal loan or a mortgage, stackybenjamins.com/SoFi. We have to tell Mom's Bridge friends, if they do the personal loan or the student loan, they get $100 for using
another
our link. How about that?
We just made you $550.
That's 5.5 Benjamins. What are you waiting for? StackyBenjamins.com/magnify money and StackyBenjamins.com/SoFi. Hey, everybody loves a top five list. We've got a top five list
today. I love top five lists. You know how much I love them. When you spring them on me as I'm walking down the stairs. Hey, I need your top five list today.
You gotta have. What's amazing is how your top five, though, is always better than mine, and I've been preparing for like a week. It's always frustrating. We've got that coming up, but first, a couple big Labor Day headlines, so let's do this.
Hello, darlings. And now, it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
First headline comes to us from financialplanning.com. This is by our friend Ed Slott. Ed, who's been on the show. That guy's crazy, OG.
He's crazy. He's crazy busy, crazy smart.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't mean crazy. When I say somebody's crazy, I mean that is a good thing. Like he's...
Oh, okay. You're the one that likes to use English language exactly the opposite of what the traditional definition of things are.
He's a dynamo. I mean, yes. How old is he? And he's just...
12.
Oh my
15.
Goodness, he's crazy. But mastering the rollover process for retirement plans. You know, there's people out there listening to this that say, hey, I've got the day off work today if I'm in the United States. If I'm not inside the United States, I'm thinking, I don't have the day off work today, but maybe I'll do this tonight. So I leave my job and I have this money sitting there, right? And I can move it someplace else. And Ed says there's good things about that and there are bad things about that. And what a lot of people don't know, OG, they know that there's good things about that, but they don't know what the bad things are, right? Well, let's go through both of them. What are some reasons that you want to move money out of your company's retirement plan into an IRA?
A couple that come to mind, simplicity. A lot of people don't like to have 15 different accounts. If you are like the average bear, you know, you're going to work in a couple of different jobs. You're going to work a couple of different industries, and keeping track of those four or five different retirement plans is complicated. Takes more time than is necessary. Efficiency. Sometimes the plans don't have all of the investment options that you would normally like to have. Maybe there's a really good subsection of investment choices, but you'd like to be a little bit more diversified. And cost structure. A lot of times with retirement plans, especially 401ks, some of those fees get kind of buried in there. You don't actually see them unless you dig through all the statement of additional information and all the ERISA filings and that sort of thing to look into it. But I think that the primary reason is that you get better diversification options, more choice, and you're in more control of your investments.
Ed talks about in this article too that moving your money to an IRA is not just limited to people that were with a company. Let's say that a parent or a loved one was with a company and they pass away and you were the beneficiary OG. You don't have to leave that money in the company plan. You can roll it over to an IRA also.
Yeah, you don't have any restrictions, right?
And then also
beneficial IRA,
yeah,
or spousal IRA. That's
right. And he talks about this thing called stretch options too, which yeah. If you're a beneficiary, you probably might be interested in stretch options. So yeah, this might be a little technical, but how do we talk about that?
We can get in the weeds on that. But basically the IRS, if you inherit a retirement plan, they allow you three different choices in terms of how you take that money out. So they're done allowing that money to be deferred, basically.
Yeah.
They say, you know, the original contributor has passed away. You get three choices. You can take it out as a lump sum. You can take it out over 5 years, or you can take it out over your lifetime. Each one of those has pros and cons and pitfalls, and you got to be able to follow all the rules and regulations to do that. But sometimes taking it out over the course of your lifetime is the best option, because you get to continue deferring that as long as possible while still requiring to have some money taken out.
He talks about how companies really don't want to be paying out to a surviving spouse or to a beneficiary forever and ever and ever. And yeah. An IRA makes that much easier. Let's go through the reasons that you don't want to do that, because people selling you on rolling over to the IRA, to them, you know, some in the, especially the commission space, they definitely want to add their assets under management. Let's talk about why you wouldn't want to. He starts off with this idea of the 55 exception.
I love this one.
Yeah.
This one's probably my favorite exception that is unheard of. So if you leave work, if you retire completely in the year that you turn 55 or later, you can take money out of your 401k without the penalty. So everyone knows of the 59 and a half rule, or at least you've heard of that. Well, I can't get my money until I'm 59 and a half. I can't touch it, otherwise there's a penalty. Well, there's ways around that as well, and that's a different topic for a different day. But sometimes the easiest one is if you left service when you were 57, if you retired when you're 57, you don't have to go through all this other stuff. You can just keep the money in the 401k, take it out, no penalty.
No mess, no fuss, way yeah. cleaner. He also says that for some clients, if you're struggling with your budget, maybe you have a lot of debt and your things aren't going that well at work, state laws protect IRAs, and those state laws can vary significantly. And what Ed brings up that I like is that a 401k plan is protected by federal law. But in some states, creditors won't be able to get at your 401k.
Yep. But in some states, they can go after your IRA after a certain limit. So, yeah. For example, sometimes the limits are $500,000 or... sometimes there's zero.
Yeah. So you have to watch it. You have to think about
creditor protection.
Yeah. Yep. Creditor protection. He also talks about, of course, if you have a lot of individual stock that's appreciated in your 401k. Yeah, I had this with a
super cool. Don't you feel like a Superman when you can whip this one out?
Oh.
And you sit down and you look at a case and you go, I'm going to save these people $100,000 in taxes. You know, this is going to be a great case. I love complex retirement and estate planning cases, you know, those are the ones that really kind of get me excited. And this is a great example of that. If you have employer stock inside of your retirement plan, so you work at ABC Corp and for the last 30 years, you've been putting your money in your 401k and it's gone into ABC stock and you've resisted the urge to diversify that, or maybe you had the company match that went into the company stock or something like that. There's a special tax exemption, or I should say special tax law that is applicable just to that tranche of your investment account, right? That particular stock position. So you have to be real careful because you get one shot at this. There's one shot. You can only do it one time. And if you follow it up, the penalty for being wrong is immense.
Monster.
But if you get it right and you dot all the I's and cross all the T's, you can save yourself 20, 30, 40% in taxes.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I remember working with an executive at Pepsi and just saved him just oodles of money. I can't tell you how much money we saved. It was so amazing.
And I think that what separates a good advisor from a, you know, maybe not as good one is the fact that they will bring this up to you, even if it doesn't necessarily impact you. You know what I mean? Like the reason that Pepsi stock worked for that client was because he had a huge position in there, right? If he had a $10,000 position, it wouldn't have made it as big a deal. And you can say, hey, I looked at this, I evaluated it, but I didn't see this as a huge benefit. So I think we can go with option A.
Yeah, you just show the client that you did the math.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's important. Good stuff. We'll link to that in our show notes. Good stuff by Ed Slott, as usual. Let's move over here to headline number two, which comes to us from Investment News. John Wagoner, who writes also for USA Today and just about every place else, love John's writing, says advisors should think twice before adding volatility ETFs to client portfolios. He said,
this just sounds dumb.
Well, what's funny is that, and this is true, some of these advisors out there, you know, they do a lot of testing. And what they looked at was the VIX index, which is an index that follows volatility. And volatility during the summer, OG, has been low traditionally. We have an election coming up. So you see these advisors that are thinking around short-term gains and things that happen a lot. We think volatility is probably going to get bigger. In fact, there was a study done recently. It's Eaton Vance Advisor Top of Mind Survey. Volatility is the chief concern among financial advisors, with 56% of those surveyed saying their worries about volatility have increased over the past 12 months. And several fund companies, including BlackRock, State Street, and TIAA, all have warned about volatility. Their economists have warned about volatility. So,
pardon me for a second. Is that not like the company line? When there's no volatility, you got to talk about volatility.
Well, I think it's reversion to the mean, right? I mean, it's the rule of, okay, if volatility is low currently, I should probably think it's going to come up.
I'm talking about like from the staying in the news cycle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You gotta have something to talk about, right? Oh. And so the market's going up, nobody's crying, everything's going great. And now you got to find a problem.
Oh, if I'm TIAA and I increasingly in the news, I'm talking about how I'm more worried about volatility than maybe you are. You're right. That's a great line to have. There's nothing wrong with that, right? I mean, that's the best sales pitch ever. If I'm in advertising, I'm totally saying we're going to hammer the fact that we're really worried. And
we're
you
really concerned about this. Have you, Mr. Client, have you considered what volatility would do to your portfolio?
Right.
No, I haven't. What should I consider? Oh my gosh.
So Wagoner says, and this sounds like a great idea then. So if I think the assets have a chance of going down, maybe I take 5% of my money and I buy one of these indexes that where they go up in value as volatility increases, right? So he talks about the VIX ETF and some other places. What's interesting about this, Mark Germain, a financial planner in Hackensack, New Jersey, told Wagoner that they tested this on their own accounts and found that the VIX ETF on its own was a volatility generator. And the ETF pricing and daily repricing would not allow us to allocate across 700 accounts, which is the money they manage effectively. So where
when I put jalapenos and stuff, it gets hot and spicy.
Yeah, but on the surface, it makes sense to me. If I think volatility is going to be high, what's the first thing I do, right? I mean, if you read Liar's Poker, Michael Lewis talks about when he was a young guy on Wall Street that he was taught, don't look at the first domino, look at the second domino. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there thinking, second domino? Oh, the VIX. The VIX is low, and I think that volatility is going to be higher? Not so fast. So
I think that when it comes to opportunistic, this to me falls under the category of opportunistic investing, right? This is the, I have accomplished, I am on track for all of my other goals and I have extra money. What should I do with this? I'm willing to swing at the big pitch. You know, I'm trying to hit a home run with this tranche of money. And I only believe that you do that once everything else is done. Now, some people take this as a contrarian view. Like they say, I want to take this portion of my portfolio. Market's really high. I want to pretend it's going to crash. So I want to bet against that. Some people use that money for individual stocks. I want to buy Mary Jane stocks, you know, or whatever, you know. I could buy 10 million of them for under a penny.
That's right.
And as an advisor, I don't have any problem with that as long as all the other stuff is taken care of. Because the long-term still beats the short term, you know, every day. So if you have all the long term stuff taken care of and you feel like I'm going to throw some money at an increased volatility fund because there's no volatility currently, sure.
Yeah, it's.
I would argue that there is because the market's gone straight up and volatility happens both ways. But, you know.
We'll link to Mr. Wagoner's article here in the show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. I think the lesson is, I like that lesson, OG, opportunistic investing, maybe with your play money, but yeah. Not in
my
the
My opportunistic
portfolio.
Money, sometimes I put at the roulette wheel.
And that,
I'm just kidding. I don't do that.
And then the IRA.
It's good for the right people at the right time.
Yeah. Most of the time, roll it over, but you got to know what the downsides are before you make that move because you've got one shot to get it right. And it's time for everybody's favorite segment, the top five, where the guest, instead of having somebody come down to the basement because we have a big party coming, mom said no guest in the basement today, OG. So that means you and I doing a top five.
Cool.
Yeah. I thought it'd be interesting because at this time of year, with Labor Day in the United States, or as they call it around the rest of the world, Monday.
The first Monday in September.
A lot of people are going back to school. Things are changing. Life is moving in the Northern Hemisphere. Well, life is moving everywhere. But you know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are making changes to their life. And while things are going to speed up now through September, October, and into November, especially in North America, we find that this is a great time to make changes. And in my practice, back in the day, this is when I'd start getting lots of calls, people starting to really think cerebrally about their money. You finding that still
big,
now?
Big $10 word there. Well, we were just talking last week about, you know, I've got that desk calendar. I noticed now the 1st of September, how much of it is gone. And so it does feel like we're accelerating toward the end of the year. But this is always a time, like you said, where people are thinking about maybe taxes, maybe giving you a little hint on somebody's top five. Maybe you're starting to think about, you know, the kids are back in school. I can finally look at my accounts and that sort of thing. But the reality is that from now until, what do you think, the middle of November, this is the time. You've got 2.5 months.
Yeah.
Because once you get to the middle of November, what's the number one thing you hear from every one of your clients?
End of the year. Busy.
I can't. I have.
Holiday party.
I have this going on. I have that going on.
Yeah.
Call me after the first year. Well, after the first year, it's too late to do a lot of stuff. So
this is the perfect time to move.
So, yeah, 2.5 months. Let's get it done.
Here we go. Let's get cheesy announcer man out here and let's start this top five.
Number five.
All right. I'm going to go first. Number five, you got to pay off your debt. Did you do something silly like go on vacation and get a loan for it? Maybe you went on vacation this summer. You went to Disney. Maybe you spent a little bit too much on your credit card. Getting ready for Christmas. Got to pay off your credit card bills. You shouldn't have any of those. Pay off your debt. Number five.
Yeah. People generally get a little more lax with their spending over the last 3 months, especially if you have a family, kids at home. You know what?
Think we're about busy. It. It's you're getting to the point now where you've got another. Again, you've got 2.5 months until you start holiday shopping, right?
Yes.
So do you want to go into the holidays with, you know, $1,800 still on your Visa card from your, you know, overreaching trip to the beach last summer?
And especially this weekend, right? In the United States, Labor Day weekend is that this is the last hurrah, man.
The last hurrah.
This is the end of summer. I'm buying the big screen TV to celebrate. We're going to do something big. This is going to be epic because I don't have time for epic after this.
Don't buy a big screen TV today.
No, maybe not.
Super Bowl weekend.
My number five is, as we go into the fall, check your milestones. Like, I love having these one-year benchmarks of where we're at versus last year. And I think this is the perfect time to say, okay, which goals am I ahead on and which am I behind on? And for me, one of those things is, you know, my emergency fund and my debt, kind of what you're talking about, OG. But also, where do I need to pay attention in the next 4 months? Should I jack up my 401k for the next few months? Or am I okay there? Is my milestone fine? And maybe I need to put more money into the college fund or into the, you know, the cottage fund or whatever it might be. I like checking my milestones here. It's like looking at the dashboard of the car as you're driving down the road. Great time to look at the dashboard and find out where I'm ahead and where I'm behind. That's my number five.
Cool. Love it.
Number four.
To kind of piggyback on what you just said about checking the, what'd you say, the mile markers or something?
Yeah, your milestones.
What were you talking about? Milestones. There we go. Milestones. Well, you said dashboard of the car, mile markers. Yeah. I was thinking, okay. Yeah. So this is a great time to max out your 401k, max out your retirement savings at work. If you're not contributing the max, $18,000, $24,000 if you're over the age of 50, you got to get there. And the only way you get there, you can't, if you're putting in $5,000, you ain't going to go to $18,000 tomorrow. So just increase it 1%. Yeah. Go online today and just click the button that says, you know, if you're at 6, go to 7. If you're at 7, go to 8. You won't even notice a difference in your paycheck. Trust me. Do that every couple of months, every 6 months. And before a year or two down the line, you'll be at max.
Reminds me of the great advice by David Chilton, the guy that wrote The Wealthy Barber, the great Canadian personal finance book. Love that book. We actually have it in the store at stackingbenjamins.com. But he says, budgets are baloney. People do what they have to do. Like he says, you know, okay, maybe some people out there have a budget. But when you look at what you need to do first, and you just do that, your expenses will fall into line. For most people, he says that's true. And I totally believe that.
Yeah, your money expands into what you allow it to. Yeah. If you get a big pay raise and don't intentionally start putting some extra money in your savings account, we've all done this. We've talked about this. We talked about 2 weeks ago on the show that, gosh, I remember making $10,000 my first year thinking if I made 30, I'd be great.
Yep. And then the wheel just spins faster.
You just keep on going. And, right. You know, and so you got to be intentional. Yep.
My number four, you're going to hate.
That's okay.
My number four is, and I wanted to make one of these that was
drum rolling it even. I love it.
That was kind of, I know that was kind of a hot thing, literally, I think, to do right now based on where the market is right now. And this isn't like John Wagoner in our headlines talking about volatility, but we did a lot of back testing when I was an advisor, and I've been doing some back testing lately that if you put maybe 5% of your portfolio into commodities, because commodities move so differently than the rest of the market in general, you'll find that you'll still have almost exactly the same upside OG over the long run, but with a smoother ride, believe it or not, even though commodities are far more aggressive than the stock market is in general, I would look at something like a commodities ETF or a commodities position. I wouldn't go just with gold. I would diversify that out. I might look at what commodities would do to my portfolio, my investing mix. And right now,
why wouldn't I like that diversification?
Expecting volatility. I would look at that because a lot of people, you know, listening to the show, I don't know about commodities. And I'm with you. I'm totally with you. We've ripped on gold a ton here.
And will forever. And we as still, long as I'm a part of it.
And we still will. Absolutely. But the whole natural resources thing.
Yeah.
Good long-term
it's
investment.
It's only down 70% in the last couple of years. So. Yeah, well, but it's a good contrarian view.
Exactly. And I look at that as part of the opportunity here. If we agree that volatility may go higher, and as we said in our headlines, that's what everybody's worried about, even if that's the, you know, cool position to have. I was looking at one of the commodities indexes, and historically it trades around $35, and now it's hanging out around $15.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, oil just earlier this year was at 29, and now it's around 50.
Right.
I mean, and I think most people would think that oil is kind of around 50 to 60, 40 to 60 is where it should kind of be.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, I'm okay with taking advantage of.
Yeah. So that's my number four. I thought you wouldn't like it because it sounds a little like the hot thing, you know. Do the hot thing.
Sounds like the anti-hot thing, actually. So I do like it.
Number three.
All right. Number three for me is Roth IRAs. So to kind of piggyback on the 401k thing, you got to do the Roth too. If you don't have the ability to do a Roth because you make too much money, congratulations, then you need to do a backdoor Roth. We can't say that because we want to keep on publicizing it as the backdoor Roth, but
right.
There's ways around it. You need to do that too. So do your Roth. My gosh, how could you not want tax-free income for the rest of your life and your heirs' lives forever and ever and ever until the government realizes that that was a big mistake and then they cancel that. But until then, at least you have the hope and optimism.
Stuff money.
Sorry, I just kind of rambled, trailed off there. But you know what I'm saying, right? That's just, you know, I had like a blinding flash of the dose of reality that what am I talking about? But don't use that as an excuse for not doing it. Well, they're just going to take this away.
At some point, they might change that rule.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. No. After the government wakes up from their drunken weekend and goes, what have we been letting people do all these years? What are we? Are we crazy? What are we doing?
Put your Roth money in.
My number three is something that I think is great for today as people have a day off, which is meal plan. Man, it's funny. Cheryl and I, we will meal plan, I'd say, 3 weeks out of 4. And those weeks go fantastic because we have less waste. We don't just go to the grocery store and chuck stuff into the cart, which is generally, you know, we'll go on a Sunday afternoon.
Like we need some Oreos and we need Chips Ahoy.
We'll go on a Sunday afternoon.
Samuses.
And we're just stocking up, right? And when you're stocking up, you're doing stuff that you might not eat this stuff forever, or it sits and it goes bad. So when you meal plan, you avoid all of those problems, avoid a lot of waste. Whether you take advantage of couponing or take advantage of specials, I think that's icing on the cake. Just meal planning in itself is a great, great way to save some cash.
Yeah, we do that. We have a chalkboard in our kitchen. It lists off. My wife does that for the kids. And then they look 3 days in advance, go, I'm not eating chicken tacos on Thursday. And you go, well, better get yourself psyched up for it, because that's the menu. Because you're going to be hungry otherwise.
Looks like you're not eating Thursday.
I'd eat a big lunch at school, kids. If you don't want chicken tacos when you get home, I would be really full from lunch.
Number two.
Numero dos. So you had your number four. What was your number four? Was kind of your...
adding commodities. Yeah,
your contemporary information.
Yeah.
I'm going contemporary info here.
Oh.
Consider dividend stocks. You know, you look at dividend payouts going up. Companies have lots of cash on their books still. Interest rates, at least as far as I know, they're not raising them anytime in the near future. They keep on saying that they might, but... You know, either way, a quarter point here or there is not going to do much to your savings account. Dividends traditionally account for a good chunk of overall investment returns. Our investment philosophy is kind of heavily tilted toward value type investments. And a lot of value type investments kind of have that dividend piece on there because they're not, you know, they're not necessarily investing to explosively grow. They're happy with their growth rate. I like dividend stocks. Take a peek.
These dividend aristocrat funds, which are funds where companies not only pay dividends, OG, but have increased the dividends for 25 years. So they continually increase the dividend. You know, you're looking at a dividend yield, depending on which one you buy. The ProShares S&P 500 Dividend Aristocrats is the least expensive that trades under ticker symbol NOBL, pays a dividend of 2.02. So double what cash pays. If you're using Magnify Money, if you're using your local bank, it's paying 2,000% higher. The Spider S&P Global Dividend ETF, slightly more expensive, 0.4, so still not expensive, trades under WDIV, and it's almost 4% dividend, 3.91. So those are just two examples. I'm on a Motley Fool page that has four of them here, but as you know, there's tons and tons of dividend paying strategies. Aristocrats is just one of those.
Yeah, I'm thinking individual dividend stocks, which is that was the controversial part that I thought you'd kind of jump on me about, since I'm, you know, big into the just diversify. But you can search for, you know, on Yahoo Money or Google Finance or whatever, search for companies, just order of their dividend. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're a good company, right? But, you know, maybe look at some of the bigger companies that have, to your point, consistently raised dividends year after year, quarter after quarter, and see if they've got a place in your portfolio.
We've got a fintech company that we're going to be profiling in the next couple of weeks that would really help with this. And actually, that kind of goes to, why don't I give you my number two? Because my number two is to automate your budget. But I think automating your finances, you know, to give you an idea of another company that helps you do what you're talking about, Motif Investments, right? Where if you're going to buy a dividend stock, I would prefer somebody to go out and buy seven or eight different dividend stocks instead of one.
Sure.
With a company absolutely. Like Motif, or a company I'm not allowed to talk about yet that's coming out in a couple of weeks, you can do that. What are you doing?
Sorry.
You're like crinkling your... You're about to take a bite, aren't you? Yeah, there it goes.
I was trying to like pour it out of the thing very easily, but it didn't make a noise.
I'm sitting here across the card table watching you crinkle while I try to talk. And by the way, it's always fun trying to hold down the fort talking about this stuff while I'm watching you eat. Thank you very much.
I'm hungry. I can't wait for the hot dogs later.
We've got to wait for the party. So, but these companies will help you automate, make it easier to put individual stocks in a portfolio. I like having several versus having one. I also like the ETF better. But back to your budget, this is a time too, if you're going to be going fast in September, October, November, through the rest of the year, and you're not using some of these apps that we've been talking about every Friday on the show, you should get automated, man. I mean, get your budget automated with Mint or, you know, Lemon that we looked at a couple of weeks ago on the show. Have things like tip your yourself where when you do good stuff, you're putting some money into the holiday fund to buy stuff around the holidays, presents or whatever. There's just so many of these cool apps that are going to make it easy so that you can do what you do best and then forget about it, right? Forget about it.
This is so good. Totally hits the spot, dude.
I don't know, those protein bars. It's a little like eating chalk.
Nope. That's why I asked you if you liked them, because I would send you one, because trust me, you ain't had nothing like this before.
Is this going to be like Doug's deal? You're going to send me a couple samples and say that I get a discount if I become a distributor?
Mm-hmm. It totally would be, actually. Because that's exactly what this company is. I know. What did they say? You know, the Men's Hair Club? I'm also a member.
That's right. You know? Yeah, we'll see how Doug does with this one. The ice cream thing clearly worked out. This one is going to be great too, I'm sure.
All right.
Yeah, but anyway, automate.
Right. I've cleansed my palate now with a glass of water. I'm ready to go with number one when you are.
Oh, here we go. You want to do the OG drum roll?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, come on.
No clue.
Oh, all right, here we go.
And most people don't have any idea what that is.
That is true. The audience was a little smaller in those days.
Number one.
Marcus done really well the last 7 months.
Oh, my. Are we about to do this? Are we about to cross the streams?
First 6 weeks out of the year, not so awesome. Since then, virtually straight up.
Is it going to happen? Come on.
You got to rebalance.
Oh, man.
You got to look and double check your allocation. If you haven't looked at it in the last 8 or 9 months.
Time to do it.
Might be time to take a peek. What's your number one, Joe, out of curiosity?
I'm just going to drop this mic. That's all I'm going to do because I called it. That's fantastic. I love that. That's my number one. My number one's your number one. Good
Looks
stuff.
Looks like we're both number one.
That is. We both get a participant medal now for participating in this awesome top five. That's it, man. If you've got questions, you've got your own top five. You know what? You know what we got to start doing, OG? We got to start posting what would make your top five in the green room and see what people come up with their own top five. That'd be fun. Let's do that. StackingBenjamins.com/green room. That'll give you the link to get in on our closed green room Facebook group. And we're going to talk about this one, see what our crazy green room people. And once again, with them, like Ed Slott, I say crazy in a good way. These people are awesome. Cool. We have some great conversations over there. That's going to do it for our top five.
Hey, everyone. It's Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And here's a special slice of Labor Day themed trivia. Ready? When did Labor Day become a federal holiday?
Nice trivia question, man. You got the answer ready to go?
Yeah, of course I do. Thanks, but somebody's got to be the pro around here. Wait a minute. Shouldn't you be doing the SoFi spot right now?
Well, it's funny. I'm getting ready to do that right now, man.
Hey, I just thought of something. When you do it, remember to tell them that SoFi is the leading marketplace lender.
Okay. Yep. Got it.
And actually, also make sure that you say that they have these phenomenal rates on student loans and personal loans and mortgages. They do mortgages great.
Dude, I got it.
I don't want you to forget. You get there by going to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi. Tell them that. Tell them you get there by going to stackingbenjamins.com/SoFi, and you got to spell it out for them. You got to say SOFI, like really slow like that.
Why don't you just get the trivia ready, huh?
I'm going to. And they're going to love this answer. It's really, really cool. But right now that I think about it, we also have to tell them about the Magnify Money people. So tell them to go to stackingbenjamins.com/Magnify Money for their financial stuff too, right? Tell them that.
We do that every show.
No, you don't. Every show?
Yeah.
Because I know that whether it's checking accounts or saving accounts or debt accounts, they've got like 90% of them rated. So make sure you tell them to go there because it's awesome.
Have you ever, ever once listened to the show that you're on?
I don't think that's relevant here. Well, I just really want to make sure that you got this because why should people settle for inferior personal finance products when like a trip to stackingbenjamins.com/magnify money is so easy? It doesn't matter if I listen to the show. These people just need to know how awesome this product is.
I got it.
You're going to say all that, like all that stuff I just told you about SoFi and Magnify Money. You're going to say all of it?
Why do I need to, man? You just did. Get the trivia ready.
Hey everyone, it's Joe's mom's neighbor Doug, and I'm taking a break from overseeing the baked beans preparation for today's big party to deliver your trivia answer. When did Labor Day become a federal holiday? The answer? Maybe this is earlier than you thought. How about June 28th, 1894? Did you get it right? If so, I think you might just need to put down the encyclopedia and find some friends, buddy.
So I was thinking that you meant the first September Labor Day and not the first Labor Day, which was in May.
A technicality, man. You were wrong. Get over it. It's okay. Even in lawn darts, you wouldn't have been close on that one.
Not even in the ballpark. Yep.
And we'll play that.
Have you played lawn darts recently?
I remember when they were called jarts. Remember those?
Uh-uh.
Oh, we had this thing called jarts and they had a super whatever point on the end, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was going to say is that now when we're at the family cottage, we busted out the lawn darts with real darts.
Yeah.
And they don't sell those anymore.
You could poke an eye out with those, man.
I almost killed one of my kids. It's like a mortar shell. Because because the first couple you do it respectfully and responsibly.
Right.
And then after a while you're like, I wonder if I could throw this really high. And then you're like,
everybody get out of the way.
Missile. It's like that movie, that crappy Adam Sandler movie. You're like, yeah, which one? All of them are crappy.
I got it.
The one where they went to the cottage with Selma Hayek was in it. And
with all the friends.
All the friends and, you know, they're celebrating, you know.
You gave that a thumb up.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, it's a funny movie. But they shot the arrow in the air and then like had to stay the longest.
Oh, no.
Whoever stayed the longest won. And then they all took off running.
What a horrible idea.
Went through somebody's foot.
Oh, that's a bad day. Let's make this a good day. Let's fire up the hotline. But this is no longer the Quotacy hotline. We're about to announce a new sponsor, OG. But for the next couple of weeks, we don't have a new sponsor. And we have some big news that we can finally talk about. We're going to call it today, the letter writing segment, the OG is taking clients segment. And for 5 years on the show, OG, you have not taken clients.
Not taking clients. I've taken clients, but none from the show.
Yes.
From the show.
You have not done that. So let's talk about briefly. We're going to have a full episode of the Green Room podcast tomorrow where you and I talk about this and why the change in direction there. But let's talk about it. You got a little tired of half helping people.
Every week we get letters more than we read on air, right? Every week we get voicemails more than we listen to on air. For years, we've used this as a public service announcement type of thing, right? And I just felt that there's more we can do to help. And just kind of giving somebody a one-off answer or replying to an email, I just felt like we could do more. And we've got, I think, a responsibility because we have so many listeners and we have so many people that want help. I said, we got to do this. So
you restructured the practice,
restructured the business to make it work, you know, really worked on making everything virtual and that sort of thing. And from using a lot of technology so that we can accommodate people from all over the country. Yeah. So that's the story. I don't want this to come across as, and we were talking about this too. I don't want this to come across as a total shift in paradigm.
Right.
You know, so the show doesn't change to
still
now this big marketing pitch for OG.
Not the emphasis of the show.
Not going to be, but we're not going to say no now. So all of you who have written and we've said no for the last 5 years, you can write again. I might actually have your emails. Expect an email from me, actually.
StackyBenjamins.com/OG will send you to the page to learn more or to sign up for some time with OG. So StackyBenjamins.com/OG. And for today, we're just going to take a couple of letters from the mailbag. The hotline is actually empty, OG. We're recording this a little early because we got some partying to do today. Let's put it that way. So instead, we're going to take two letters. First letter is one that I missed, and I apologize to Alex over at 50weekvacation.com. Alex said he wanted to ask us a question. Can we please explain the rationale behind how, quote, people will spend less in retirement than when working? He says he guesses that they might have their house paid off, but you still have to eat. He said perhaps he's fortunate he's not buying a ton of work clothes or that his transportation to work is not a huge cost as well. So unless these people are just watching TV and not playing golf, I find it hard to believe. He said, is he missing something here?
His point is that they are going to or not going to?
His question is, he thinks it's going to be closer to 100%, and yet you see
these
numbers that are 50, 70%.
No, that's ridiculous. I don't know what you're going to say about this, but when we do planning, I'm not going to let you say, well, I'm going to spend half my money. No. You're not. Yeah, okay, maybe the house is paid off, to his point. And maybe you have a huge budget for tolls. We live in a city that has, you know, you can't go 15 feet down the road without paying a toll somewhere. So, you know, we get that. But you're just going to replace that activity with a different activity. You know what I mean? To his point, you're not just going to sit on the couch. At least that's my supposition in retirement, is you're going to find something else to do with your time that's more stimulating than working. So, I will very rarely entertain the conversation with a client of, build my plan on me living on 70% of my current lifestyle.
See, I disagree with that. I do disagree, because when Jane Bryant Quinn was on, she said, you know, I'm no longer accumulating stuff. Somebody gets to retirement, they have enough stuff. She's like, what surprised her when she kind of transitioned into semi-retirement, Jane Bryant Quinn's far from retired, but when she went to that route and she's talking to friends of hers, she said, you know, the buying stuff phase is just, it's over. It just, I don't need anything. I got enough stuff for my kitchen, got enough, you know, I'm not that worried about fashion, keeping up with fashion. So I'm not buying clothing as often. And like Alex said,
But Jane Bryant Quinn's on the news, so she has to keep up with fashion.
No. But like I said, she's far from retired. And what I'm saying is that people she talks to, they don't buy clothes as often. They don't buy the work dress as often. And certainly I agree with what you're saying, that some of that is transference. And the big place, Jane says this too, is that your healthcare costs probably be more than you expected it to be. So that's a big number. But, you know, the occasional travel, I don't think you're going to spend 100%. You might.
There you go. So according to the Employee Benefits Research Institute, retirement income adequacy for boomers, 58% of baby boomers expect to spend less in retirement.
Right.
Okay. Only 48% of them actually do.
48% of that 50%, 50 whatever percent?
48% of retirees spend less in retirement. 31% spend the same, 21% spend
21%
more.
Spend more.
Yep. Now, this is a study from EBRI. I believe that you were talking a little bit ago about budgeting and, you know, how there really isn't a budget and life expands into, you know, we talked about that. To me, this is a great example of that. If you plan for your current lifestyle to continue and you happen to not spend it, you know, you win, right?
Yeah.
If you plan for 70% of your lifestyle and then you can't achieve a 30% cut in your costs, you lose. I mean, and you lose quickly and very badly. I think kind of a corollary to this question of lifestyle costs, the piece that is underappreciated is the impact of inflation. If you're looking at somebody who's planning on retiring in 60 or 65, you just kind of factor 3% inflation. Milk's going to cost $15 a gallon in 30 years from now. And you go, no, it won't. That'll never happen. I'll never spend $30 a gallon for milk. I know. And we all said that when it was 99 cents and people said it's going to cost $5 a gallon for milk. And everybody said, I'll never spend five. So it's going to happen whether you want it to or not. That's the piece that I think is overlooked the most. I'm glad that we agree to disagree.
Well, I like when you back up your disagreement with actual facts. This next question comes to us from Jason. Jason says, hey, Joe and OG, it's a couple questions. He says, we'll take one today and we'll do his second question on Wednesday show. Okay. He's a municipal government employee in Illinois. He's 30 years old, marries, has a child. He contributes to a pension, has a 457 plan, which are people who don't have one of those. A lot like a 401k.
Kind of like a 401k, yeah.
For the pension, at age 53, he's going to have 30 years of service and will be eligible to receive the maximum pension benefit of 75% of his salary for life, including cost of living adjustments, assuming the pension's still there. It is Illinois we're talking about here, he says. I also currently contribute 9% to my 457 and plan to increase it to 12 next year, then 1% more year after year. That's what you were talking about earlier.
How about that?
He's already ahead of the game. Nice job. Until he reaches the maximum contribution limit. So his question we're going to tackle today, his 457, it's the traditional pre-tax plan. Since he contributes to a pension, which is also pre-tax, should his 457 contributions be partially or completely Roth contributions? Great question, Jason. Thanks for that. So let's tackle that. Should he go into the Roth?
Jason, great job so far on the plan. You're right on to be thinking, I'm going to have this pension. The pension is going to be fully taxable when I retire. And then I'm also going to have this 457 that also is fully taxable. The piece I think you might want to also add to the plan is what do I do between 53 and 59? Because if you're living, if you get a pension that's at 53, I'm assuming you mentioned 53. I'm assuming you mean to say, I plan on retiring once I hit that goal. So either you're going to retire and then go work somewhere else, or you're going to retire and get your pension, but that's only 75% of your income. Where are you going to come the other 25% from? You would want to be thinking about that today, where you've got 20 years to plan for.
We talk a lot about them. We've done this in our Stacking 101 Benjamins class in the past about the tax triangle. And Jason's talking about two of those. You know, if you draw a triangle and you've got three different points of that triangle, one end is where money goes in pre-tax and comes out taxed, right? That's going to be Jason's 457, 401k for a lot of people, maybe an IRA, SEP IRA, whatever you use. Another side is where money goes in after tax. And when you pull it out, that money is tax-free. And that can be the Roth IRA. That can be some types of life insurance, have that as an option. Municipal bonds. All of those have, by the way, OG downsides. Just like the 457, if you need that money early, 401k, same thing, IRA, they have rules. There's rules for all those investments. Insurance, you got to buy the insurance, right? And it's kind of complicated to get
and it's
it out.
Insurance.
Yeah, that's right. municipal bonds, you know, not going to increase as fast in value. Also, you know, if you're using those in retirement, you've got some concerns about Social Security. So all of those have downsides. But there's the third part, which I think you're referring to, which is the third corner, and that's flexible money. No tax benefit putting it in, no tax break when you take it out, but there is no real penalty, right? And you're talking about maybe building that third part too.
Well, a little bit of that. So what I would want to do is I would want to build the plan all three ways and say, go with the current plan. And what does that look like? How, you know, I retire 53. I've got this 457 account. How am I going to get the money out and like put the plan on the shelf, right? So I'd want to build it that way and see what the outcome is. I would want to build the plan with, let's not do the 457 pre-tax. Let's do it with after-tax or, you know, do the Roth contribution side of it, like you were saying. See the impact of the tax situation today, because that's going to increase your tax liability in the present day. But it's going to leave you with tax-free money in the future and run the plan that way. And I would want to do a combination of those things with what you're talking about. We would just call it a regular brokerage account, a regular investment account, folded in there as well. The happy outcome is probably a mixture of everything, where you get a little tax break today. And we've talked about this before. We get a little bit tax break today. You get a little tax benefit in the future by it being taxed, some of it tax-free, and some there's some more flexibility. And then you have the non-qualified account that may be needed to bridge the gap between 53 and 59 for distribution purposes.
That's why I like looking at all three sides of that triangle. For specifically
shameless plug,
that reason.
But that's exactly how I would do it.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean by shameless plug?
Oh, am I not supposed to be shameless anymore?
Well, it's just, I don't know that that's a shameless plug. Shameless plug, but that's how a good guy does it. That's how you do it. There's nothing shameless about that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Shameful plug. I feel bad to tell you.
Well, how about if I did a shameless plug and said, if you want more, then you should go to stackingbenjamins.com/OG. And we can work that out for you.
I think that's good. That's fine. All right. Thanks for the question. Jason's second question is a doozy. So I'll just leave that there. I really like his second question.
All right. The first one's pretty good.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to answer it the way that he thinks. But if you've got a question for the hotline, and we're going to call it, for now, we're going to call it the OG's Taking Clients Hotline. Send that
to... Sounds like a great sponsor.
Yeah, that's not going to be the end.
It's not the full time.
No, there will be somebody on there. We're finishing that up right now, but stackingbenjamins.com/voicemail. And then letters to the mailbag, send those to joe@stackingbenjamins.com. People are also nice enough to leave us reviews of this year's show, OG. I'm really, really excited when somebody leaves us a review, because that means that they're helping us tell listeners what they think, tell new listeners and potential listeners what they think of the show. And because of that, by the way, our show has often been in the top 20 podcasts in America. In fact, looking at iTunes today, we're sitting at number 19. How cool is that? So thanks to everybody who's done that. These are,
it is cool.
This is one going on mom's fridge today. This one comes from Building FU Money. What do you think FU means?
Fun, unexpected
money. Absolutely. 5 stars. This is great fun for kids of all ages. This podcast changed my life. It's nearly as powerful as the Three Wolves Howling at the Moon t-shirt I bought on Amazon. Some say the t-shirt and the podcast have magical powers. Just read the Amazon reviews and you'll be convinced. Personal finance doesn't need to be boring or complicated. Joe OG and the rest of the gang do a super job leaving the jargon and pretentious attitudes in the boardroom. Great balance of humor, news, and sound financial guidance. Relevant topics that are appropriate for the average person. The roundtable segments and show guests are well balanced and never feel stuffy or forced. The podcast is worth your time. Wow. How about that one?
Well thought out. Well, it wasn't like, yay. Yeah, that is a really well thought out FU money.
Yeah, that's fun and unexpected.
Fun and unexpected money.
Yes, fantastic. So if you could take just a second, whether it's on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcasts, leave us a review. That helps us a ton. Thank you. That's going to do it for today, man. Really excited that we came together there on the top five.
That was the highlight of your show?
That was the highlight. I'm high five of myself still.
You knew it was bound to happen.
Nailed it.
What do they call that? Serendipity?
That was good. I don't know. It's just, you know, a couple smart guys in the same room. Well, probably
there's that. Yeah. Obviously.
Not sure who those two smart guys are, but we were close. So we will see everybody back here on Wednesday. We've got a phenomenal show for you Wednesday. Let me tell you who's coming on, OG, because this is super duper exciting. Lauren Groopman is somebody who was a spender. Now, she wasn't your traditional spender where she spent money to spend money. She believed that you had to spend money to make money. So she thought she could spend her way into success.
Sounds like my type of person. I like this person.
We haven't seen that story before, and Lauren's got an incredible story. Now you can see her on the Today Show, on Dr. Oz, Rachel Ray. She's all over the airwaves, and she's going to be down here in the basement talking to us on Wednesday. So Fun. Tomorrow, over on the Green Room, OG explaining more in depth his change of heart about working with clients, and that's going to be a little backroom talk for those that want more on that. We'll see you over there tomorrow or back here on Wednesday, Stacking Benjamins.
So what the heck should we have learned today? Well, first, rolling over that IRA might be a little more involved than you originally thought. Find someone who's done it before to make sure you don't miss your perfect move. Also, Roth or traditional plans for your money? Well, they probably go better together, so let's go with both. But the big lesson? Never put OG in charge of the party drinks unless you're up for malt liquor. This show is the property of SB Podcast, LLC. The show is created by Josal Sehi, produced by Richie Rutter Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Hey, join us on Wednesday because Joe's mom is baking her incredible Dutch apple pie for our special guest, Lauren Groopman. See you then.
Due to current economic conditions, it's my job to inform you that the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off.
This is going to be a fast one, OG.
That's what she said.
Oh, man. That's never what she said. But that's what he doesn't.
Yeah, she did.
She said it better be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you know it's quality time together.
Because she's tired of these dessert after shows. And she wants to go faster. That's what she's talking about.
Yes. From ABC News, we haven't done one of these just financial horror stories. You've wanted a gift card before, haven't you?
Like, I've wanted a gift card.
Yeah. You're like, man, give me my gift card. I want a gift card. Like, have you opened up like a card lately from anybody? Like my mom still sends me money, you know, for my birthday, which
I kind of feel it's comical that my mom sends me money for my birthday. And then I send her 20 times that amount back every month.
I'm
like, thanks for returning last week's stipend, mom.
But it's so funny. I'm almost 50 years old and I still open my mom's card and I'm like, God, I hope there's a 20 in here.
My kids have that feeling with their great grandma. That's the $50 great grandma.
They don't even know her name. It's just, it's the
grandma 50. Something, but she's, She's like really old, but she gives us $50.
She's good for 50. I remember going over to Grandma Seahigh's house, and she always gave us socks and underwear. And
that's awesome.
Oh, and I hate it. It would be Christmas afternoon, and we're playing with these awesome toys that we got from Santa Claus, right? Everything's great. My dad's like, get in the car, going to Grandma's. Grandma's, but why? I don't want to go to Grandma's. But Grandma's got a present for you. Yeah, but it's socks and underwear.
That's actually, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, but we're getting, you know, we talked about the holidays and prepping for them.
Yeah.
That's why we don't go anywhere on Christmas. For that exact reason. We do not spend Christmas Day anywhere but in our pajamas at our house.
Just to enjoy your stuff.
Because I don't want to do that. Like, look at all this cool stuff you got, kids. Now, forget it all and get in the car. We got a 3-hour drive up to Grandma's house in the snow.
Well, as you know, we still have it over here at Mom's, but we play games all day.
But that's fun. Blast. Could you imagine? Well, it's fine when you're an adult.
Yes.
And your kids are grown and, you know, but my kids are young, so.
Yes, they want to play with their stuff.
So, ABC News.
All right. So, but you've wanted a gift card before, right? You open up stuff, you want a gift card. Well, this woman
I'll play along. Sure, I want a gift card.
This woman really wanted a gift card. Employees of an Oregon grocery store cleaning up after a police says a woman drove her SUV into the store and down the aisles. Springfield police say a 43-year-old Glenwood woman tried to purchase. What's a big gift card purchase in your mind?
$500.
$2,200 of gift cards.
Ooh, yeah, they don't let you do that on credit cards these days.
And she became amazingly upset when she didn't even try to do it on a credit card. Her check bounced. And Safeway employees would not complete the transaction because her check bounced. So she couldn't pay for
them. They can check that fast on a check, huh?
Oh, they have that whole check guard system now, man. They run it immediately.
Well, good to know. This is OG. Leave the checkbook.
It ain't going to work no more. We can't go shopping till tomorrow.
Remember you used to be able to do that? You'd be like, I'm getting paid on Friday. So
I seriously remember going grocery shopping on a Thursday night knowing that this is going to clear.
I will gladly give you money for one cheeseburger today.
That was the year of no money. That year was just absolutely great horrible. Years. I was playing that game all the time. Anyway, the Register Guard, the local paper, reports that she angrily left the store Tuesday afternoon and returned. What's a good time to return if you are really angry and maybe might have a little
like 10:30 at night?
How about midnight?
Yes. So you've been at the bar all peed off.
Right.
Jackasses over at Safeway, man. I'm going to get them.
Returned after midnight and she parked in front of the store.
She had some pops in her, probably.
She parked in front of the store and was yelling about wanting her gift cards.
Yep.
At midnight.
Yep.
Police say the woman then drove the SUV through the store entrance, up and down an aisle, and out the other side of the Safeway.
I love it.
Police arrested her at her home. And there's a couple spaces here, and then it says, and this is the best part of the article, no one was injured.
Oh, well, that is good, actually.
That is good.
That'll leave a mark.
That's wanting some gift card. Want my gift card! I wonder which gift card she wanted. Do you think it was Applebee's?
She's buying $2,200 at Applebee's.
I want my Applebee's!
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back. I want my baby back. Is it Chili's? Yeah.
Dude, I haven't been to a Chili's in forever. So Richie and I were going out for lunch last week.
Oh, I know.
And I said,
the invite.
Oh, that's right, because I used the Stacky Benjamin's card.
Obviously.
Yes.
You're the CFO over here is paying attention to it.
So we go to Chili's. I haven't been there forever. And they have those little iPad thingies that are right on the, you know, have you been there lately?
No, dude.
Yeah, you can order through the iPad. I don't have to talk to anybody if I don't want to. But
yeah, I've seen that at some other restaurants. I was over at some place, and they kind of flapped down this thing in front of me. When there's the menus right here. I mean, it was nice that the person came over and actually said hello and explained how it worked.
Yeah, my name's Debbie. I don't want to give you any service, so I'm going to throw this thing at you. So we
but
don't
I
have
demand
to talk.
20%.
No, well, that's the funny thing, was that first of all, she comes over, and I said, so how do I pay? She said, well, you can either run it through they called it like a Ziosk, right? It has some silly name. I'm like, oh, you're talking about the iPad on the little thing? No, it's a Ziosk. So you can either swipe your card there, or I can hand it to her, and she can swipe it. And I said, well, you know, whichever one's, I don't care. And she's like, well, if you just hit this button, and you can just pay right here on the Ziosk, great. Then she said, okay, this is going to have a survey at the end of it. Everything under excellent hurts me. She didn't say, take the survey. She said, you're going to have grades on everything, but anything under excellent on any category hurts me.
Well, you should have tried harder then. Fair, poor.
Yeah, but you know that's her training. Her trainer set it up that way. Oh, we need the store to look good. So if you want to look good, you want the store to look good. Like, you've got to have excellent on everything. Mm-hmm. So because the franchisor is going to look, I thought that was horrible. It felt slimy. That's terrible, yeah. And then it defaulted to a 20% tip.
How about that?
And then I asked Richie, who's had all kinds of jobs working in the restaurant industry. I'm like, 20%? And he looks at me and he goes, that's like the standard now. Did you know that?
Yeah, I do a flat 15 because I used to work in the industry too.
I've been between 15 and 20 all the time.
Yeah, yeah. So I do a flat 15 if they are normal people, because I'm assuming that they're getting $2 an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. I've been there. So they get the 15 from me regardless. But if it's good, and like, it has to be like outstanding service to right. get anything above 15, you know, I round. So I just round to make it convenient for me. So if it ends up being 18, whatever, that's fine. I reserve the 20s for, I mean, just, or like a special occasion, like it's a holiday dinner,
yep.
you know, and they're busting their hump on, you know, Christmas Eve or something. I'm going to throw them some extra cash for that.
Default at 20 just surprised me.
Yeah. So here's what really gets you when you go on vacation somewhere to a place that normally doesn't do tipping, or they include the tip, and then there's still the line that says tip.
Oh.
So Miami's famous for this because the culture there, the South Beach culture, is not to leave tips.
Yeah. So tips are already included.
So they put the tip included, but then they still have the line for the tip. Yeah. Homie, don't play that.
I had the opposite. You know, in the past when we've gone to Europe, I've, you know, tipping is like extraordinary. So if you get extraordinary service, what I didn't know was that in the south of France, like, you generally leave at least a little tip. I didn't know that. I thought that tipping was just completely whatever if you got fantastic service. So
and what kind of tip do you leave for a fantastic service in France, in normal France?
Yeah, I was
like
asking
a 5%er, or is this like you give them the 20?
I was asking my daughter about that. Like, you know, €5 maybe. 5-6 euros.
So fantastic service, just throw them a fiver.
Apparently, yes. I see. And she was there for much longer than we were, so we did that. But before we met up with her, we were in Nice, and we had this waiter who I'll only describe as creepy. And we were waiting for our table at a restaurant. So we were down the street, we're in this beautiful square, and we're sitting at this table just literally to grab a quick drink and go. And so I thought, quick drink, go. I'm not leaving this guy a tip. Not realizing that was actually like giving the dude the finger, right? And the guy actually comes up just as we're leaving, and he goes, "Was everything okay? Was everything great?" And I'm going, "Oh yeah, you've got me pegged as a tourist. You totally." I'm like, "Everything was fine, man. It was great. Thank you." The guy did not have me pegged as a tourist. I was being rude.
Nice.
But you never know. You don't know.
Yeah.
So the good news is I'll never see him again. All right.
The better news is that he doesn't ever care to see you again. So. That's
right. It's going to be mutual. I won't see him. He doesn't want to see me. Yeah. So bang. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
That was not the shortest one ever.
It was not. Sorry. Plan for it to be, but there we go. I want my gift card.